Done and dusted. The SPL season may have drawn to a close, but the focus now turns to the Singapore Cup.
Who looks poised to pounce and who looks set to surprise?
We review the season gone by and set the scene for the Cup right here on the SPL podcast.
What's up, everyone? This is Raushan.
And this is Farah. Now, Raushan, I feel like it was just yesterday when we were doing our season preview and then our mid-season report. And now here we are at the end of the season, probably going to talk about what the season has entailed, what we've seen throughout the season. I can't believe how fast everything has flown by.
Yeah, it's 28 match days gone by really quickly, and here you are still having troubles logging onto Zoom. But anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure covering the entire covering the entire season with you. I think we've reached that exciting juncture where we look back on the season as a whole. We do congratulate Albrecht Niigata for wrestling their crown back from the Lion City Sailors, though I'm convinced that the Sailors lost it more than Albrecht won it. But to talk all things SPL before we move into the Singapore Cup, we have none other than Deepan Raj Ganesan. Deepan, how are you?
Hi, Roshan. Hi, Farah. Once again, pleasure to be here. I think we enjoyed a great Singapore Premier League season. I'm looking forward to, you know, wrapping it all up with this new show.
Speaking of wrapping it up, shall we not waste any more time? Because we do have a bunch of teams to get into. So, like Roshan said earlier, when we spoke to you earlier, we want to go down the table and kind of review each teams as we go by down the table. So, of course, we begin with the champions, Albirex. They, of course, sealed their fifth league title with two games to spare. And I feel like at the end of the day, we can all agree that they were deserved champions. So, Deepan, I'll come to you first. What have they done right, if not everything, this season?
I think with most title-winning teams from Albirex, I think one thing you've got to look at is recruitment. I think this season they've got that spot on. The players that have come in this season, you know, full of quality. And I remember saying this in the preview show that I had a first glimpse of the team and I could see the quality right away. And yes, even though they took some time to get going, I think it was inevitable that they would mount a title charge. But, you know, they have gone on and done one better, more than a title charge. They've won the title. And I think what's great about Albirex is, you know, from what we have witnessed over the last few years that, you know, this Singapore Premier League title is not going to satisfy them. They would have gone back to training right away, you know, almost to mount a Singapore Cup challenge this time around. But I think what's great also about Albirex is I think they always, you know, strike a unified front. You know, rarely do you hear stories of infighting, disrespectfulness amongst the players towards the coaches or whatsoever that you get sometimes from some of our local teams. And also, I think a third key point you've got to mention is the signing of Ilhan Fandi. I think not just on the pitch, I mean, with the goals that he provided, but I think it just gave everybody in the squad a boost. To see a player of that caliber, to see a player of that joyfulness really join the squad. And I think the next question you've got to pose is to Raushan, who counted Albirex out when the season began.
I was just about to turn this to Raushan. But Raushan, do you remember what you said about Albirex at the start of the season?
I did, and I'm happy we are serving a good portion of humble pie on this podcast because I'm happy to eat it. Fair play, Albirex proved me wrong. Prove the doubters wrong. I had my doubts when they went through a bit of a wobble, but I stand by it. LCS lost the title. Albirex didn't win the title, but you got to be there. You got to be there to take advantage of the situation. And in Kazuki Yoshinaga, they have the perfect ringmaster, shall we say, to guide them. Because, yes, Deepan touched on the recruitment. Recruitment was spot on, but they are still a young group of boys. And to get them pushing in the same direction is all Yoshinaga. To throw Ilhan into the mix is all Moiti. So, fair play to them. They have proven the doubters wrong, and I think they are fully deserving of being crowned SPL champions. And to Deepan's point, I don't think they are done just yet. I think there is more silverware on the horizon. I think the scary fact is, after sealing the title with that victory over LCS, They then went on to lose the two dead rubber games. Or no, they lost one dead rubber game and then they dropped points in the other against Geylang. So if anything, that would have fired them up more for the upcoming cup game. So fair play, Albrex. Good luck for the cup.
Actually, that's a very fair point, because if you guys watch the post-match after they lifted the title, Yoshinaga was full-on with his championship over and over again, showing the camera. And I think he definitely said that they are raring to go for the Singapore Cup. So I'm expecting big things from them for that one. But we'll talk about that a little later. So on the note of Albrex, I'll come to you, Deepan. Who has been their best player this season?
I think it's a fairly straightforward question in terms of what he has provided Albrex. And I think that would have been goals. Kodai Tanaka, I think, far and away, has been one of the best players in the Singapore Premier League. So I think just for Albrex alone, you've got to give it to him. But having said that, I think there were a lot of other players who really chipped in. I think you know, because this is a name that we have mentioned quite a lot on this show, Kan Kobayashi. I really, really like how he pulled the strings in midfield. A very underrated player, because you don't always see him notch up his name in assists or goals. Omori was a great player as well, but I think you've got to go with Kodai Tanaka. I think no way around it.
When we ask you for your best player, you know what's to come next. We'll probably ask you for the player who probably needs to improve the most probably next season or for this season and what they've done so far. But I'll let you think about it. Roshan, I'll come to you. Why is yours Kodai Tanaka as well?
Yeah, I don't think Deepan's going to have a long time to think about it, because I think the numbers don't lie. Kodai Tanaka has been the standout player. And it's not just the numbers. I think having to accommodate Ilhan, we saw a shift in position for Kodai Tanaka midway through the season, and he adapted to it fairly well. And in fact, still went on to score many goals out on the wing position. So fair play to Kodai Tanaka. Excellent find. I know with these Albrex players, they hopefully will stay in the league. Maybe not with Albrex, maybe with another team. But I think for the SPL's sake, he needs to stay in Singapore for 2023. Perhaps LCS have an eye on it. We'll see.
I don't think anyone can argue that much about with the option of Kodai Tanaka there. So, Deepan, I'll come back to you. Which player needs to improve the most then?
Honestly, I know it's a bit of a cop-out answer, but I really cannot think of any Albrex player that you can point at and say, hey, he let the side down this season. But I think looking through the squad, I mean, one thing you always want to see is, you know, more Singaporean players come to the fore. I think previous years, Nicky Melvin Singh did quite well. Perhaps with Ilhan's inclusion this time around, we saw less game time for him. So if there's anybody at all, I would say, you know, I would want to see more from Nicky Melvin Singh in the coming seasons ahead.
Roshan, what about you?
I can understand why Deepan has gone for the Singaporean angle. It makes sense for Nicky Melvin Singh to get more game time to start with and then take advantage of it. For me, though, one player who can improve has to be Koga. I think there has been question marks about his decision-making. Deepan and I have had conversations offline about how he is a liability in what is a very, very good Albrex team. So, honestly, maybe we are clutching at straws. But the evidence is there. You can look up highlights of him unnecessarily rushing off his goal line and then getting done for. I believe it's Tanjung Pagar late on conceding. And then subsequently after that. So if anything, Koga needs to up his game. But again, we are clutching at straws because this is a very, very good Albrex team.
Speaking of a very good Albrex team then, with all that said and done, what will they need to do in 2023?
Keep Ilhan.
Keep Ilhan.
For Singapore's football's sake, I hope it Albrex, however long his contract with them is and what he's proved in the short space of time. For Singapore's football sake, maybe he needs to move on to bigger challenges. But for a very selfish point of view, I think they keep Ilhan, they will be right up there amongst the top few teams next year.
Interesting. Deepan, what about you? What will they need to do in 2023?
I think not necessarily keep Ilhan, because I mean I know what Roshan's point is, but personally, I would also like to see Ilhan, you know, move abroad, you know, get a bigger challenge for himself. But I think what Albrex needs to do is, which is not possible actually, which is actually keep a bulk of their squad together. Rarely do you see this Albrex team, you know, go from year to year with the same squad. They like to give young players a chance, especially from Japan. And usually clubs from the Singapore Premier League snap up some of these hot shots from Albrex. So I would like to see, you know, some of these key players like Tanaka, Kan Kobayashi guide the next batch of Albrecht's players while keeping the core intact. I think it's a bit wishful, judging from how their squads have been shaped over the years, but let's see.
Yep, let's see. Now I feel like we're done with Albrecht's. We should move on to the runners-up, the Lion City Sailors. Plenty has been said about them throughout the season, and we will want to continue that. But let me just run through a couple of things. They, of course, finished second, and they were on 57 points, just two behind the champions. They are the highest-ranked local team in the league, and, of course, they seal a spot in the qualifying playoffs in the East region for next season's AFC Champions League. So as a whole, guys, what would your assessment be of the Lion City Sailors? Deepan, I'll come to you first.
I think when you look at the table and then you see that a team is in second place, you tend to think of it as a fairly good season. But this is the Sailors that we're talking about, and I think all in all, they have been a letdown this season. They came into this season on the back of a historic season, right? I mean, winning their first Singapore Premier League title, and everybody thought they would kick on from there. You look at the resources they have, you look at the players they brought in this season in Maxim Lestia and Kim Shin Wook. I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer, no, that you would think that they will surely win the title. And something has gone wrong midway through where they have completely lost it. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks back. I mean, to lose to teams that have nowhere near the resource and budget that you do, I think it's unacceptable. Some of the performances against teams that were nowhere near them, I mean, Ballistic Khalsa comes to mind. You know, that is a game that I cannot, you know, really forget, because this is Ballistic Khalsa you're talking about, that, you know, a lot of people have so much to say about the Tigers, and a team like Lion City Sailors cannot beat them. I think something is definitely wrong there. I think we will discuss it a bit more later once Roshan has his say.
Roshan, what about you? What have you made of the Lion City Sailors' season?
No, I wholeheartedly agree with most of the points that Deepan is making. I think with LCS comes the pressure. But I think when we are discussing their season as a whole, we need to take out recency bias slightly. I know they've bottled it towards the end of the season, and that's why they are here as runners-up. But they gave us plenty of good moments. I think their AFC Champions League showed what this project was all about, to get 7 points in what was a fairly difficult group. There was that historic 3-0 win over Daegu, and then that, I guess, if they had beat Shandong Luneng, it might have been a very different result that we are talking about. But they went on to give a good account of themselves on continental competition, and I feel with LCS, would they have liked to finish champions? Of course they would. But it's hard not to give them credit for putting up a credible showing in the AFC Champions League. I think if you ask anyone associated with the club, they will agree that decisions beyond playing staff had a say in how their title defense worked out. But all in all, I think LCS will learn from this. I feel they are managed by good people, and they will learn from this and come back stronger next year.
I think the key point that you said, Roshan, is that they will learn from this. So what will they need to do in 2023 then?
I think they need to get their manager spot on. They need to get that hiring spot on. I think with regards to foreign players, of course, Maxim Lestien by a country mile, the league's best player this season. But I'm just wondering whether in terms of recruitment, they can do slightly better purely because of the resources they have, rather than just stockpiling Singapore national players. Is there a better way to go about business? Because I don't think any of the stalwarts of the Singapore national team have done exceptionally well this year. Happy to be taken proven wrong here, but I don't think any of them have lit it up the way they have. So maybe recruitment can be improved. And again, we are only in the infancy stages of this LCS project, right? So I stand by my point. They will learn from it, and hopefully if they get their recruitment right next year in terms of players and managing staff and stick to their guns throughout the season, they need one season without bloody changing their manager to start with. That will help.
Deepan, what do you make of Roshan's point?
No, I think it's a fair point. I mean, I wasn't considering the AFC Champions League at all, because I believe we're looking just solely at the Singapore Premier League campaign. Of course, if you want to talk about the overall nature of their season, then of course, I think that the AFC Champions League is a very good point to mention. They might not have progressed, but I think they did us all proud. But I want to just zone in on just the Singapore Premier League campaign. And looking at the table again, I think 2 points off Albrecht's Niigata, or rather the champions, is not something to be ashamed of at the end of the day. But again, I think you've got to really, really, really look at it in context and the resources that Lion City Sailors have. You look at the way they train, you look at the way they put up their players before games. It's it's not comparable at all to any club in the Premier League. So to me, I think it's unacceptable that they have not won the title. And come on, we, at the start of the season, we were saying that they should be winning every game. That's the expectation on them. And then to go on like 3-4 games, losing streak, losing 5-3 to Balestier, it's just not acceptable at all. And I think there will be some changes at Sailors. I think we've already heard from some quarters about some possible changes. I think they might be close to hiring a new manager. Let's see. Not in time for Singapore Cup, I understand, but I think they could be close to appointment. But I think one thing is it gives us something to look forward to next season, to see how Sailors come back from adversity.
Okay. With all that said, right, I actually didn't want to come back to one point that you made just a little earlier when you said that since the start of the season, there was just incredible amount of expectations on the Lion City Sailors. And I think those expectations are very, very fair. But do you think that expectation sort of was their downfall, putting aside that, you know, with all their managerial issues and stuff, but do you think the expectations that we all placed on them to retain that title, to go the season, you know, undefeated or whatever, was perhaps maybe slightly too much and might have gotten to their heads a little?
I'm not sure about you know, whether expectations was too much for them, because you look at this squad, it's full of experienced players who can take it on and say, you know what, give me more expectations. I think one way to describe it is something that I thought of a few days ago. You ask any manager in the Singapore Premier League and you tell them, we will give you one player from the Lion City Sailors, but can you guarantee us that you will move your team up by one spot? Every manager will take that challenge, because that's how much one player from this Sailors squad can improve the other sides. I mean, you just take out a Shadan from Sailors and you plonk him into any of these other sides, it will be a massive improvement. So, you know, because we are so used to seeing the national team, we don't realise that these players are the national team starters. Not just players, national team starters. It's basically a national team side, you know, and improved by the likes of Lestien and Shin Wook. So, I think no excuses for them. And I'm sure Sailors will admit, you know, I think they want to be known as a club that, you know, there will be no excuses and they will set the ceiling each time. Just that this season hasn't gone their way due to, like what Roshan said, certain circumstances.
Roshan, do you want to add on to that?
No, I don't have much to add. I think Deepan hit the nail on the head there. They are experienced players. I think when we spoke to Harris sometime last year on the Rated R podcast, he said it comes to the territory of playing for LCS, the expectation that is placed on them. You cannot use it as an excuse, and it's no excuse in this instance. Deepan touched on it there. It is the league form that is worrying, right? Last season, they ended up as champions with 48 points from 21 games. For context, this year, I know they played 7 more games, but they only had 9 more points from the additional 7 games, which, I'm not a maths person, but you do the math yourself, that's not exactly winning form, is it? So there's plenty of self-reflection that needs to go on in terms of the players. And I think Deepan touched on it there. Any manager take a player. At some point when Luca had that dream start to that tenure as LCS interim head coach, we said, LCS, anybody can manage. Like, I can go in and manage those players. It's not proven to be that way. So I think there's more to it to manage a football club. And I like Deepan's point a lot about next year being very exciting, because then LCS are the wounded. Albrechts are there to be hunted. It's going to be exciting in 2023.
Indeed. Before we move on to the team in third place, I will have to ask you guys, who has been your best player so far for the Lion City Sailors? Because like Deepan said, the entire team, pretty much every individual, are right up there. So who has been your setup player, Deepan?
For the Sailors, I think it's going to be Maxim Lestien. I think Roshan said that earlier, right? I think far and away the best player in the league. I completely agree. If I was voting for the Singapore Premier League Player of the Year, I would go for Lestien. I mean, more than Tanaka, because I think Tanaka has provided the goals, but the overall entertainment. And also this thing about how the Player of the Year doesn't necessarily need to come from the champions. So I think for me, Lestien. Maybe Roshan probably agrees as well.
Roshan, you did say Lestien.
I think Anik Roshan is a special now. I'm kidding, guys. Obviously, Maxim Lestien has to be the standout player by far. We'll touch on the best player in the league later on. As well as the best manager, who I'm particularly keen on to hear Deepan's thoughts on.
Okay, before we move on, I will have to ask as well, which player then needs to improve most for 2023?
I think I'll go first.
Don't steal my answer.
I probably think we've got the same answer. I actually like him as a player. But you've got to say that this season he has been quite disappointing, and I think he will admit to that as well. It's got to be Faris Ramli. I mean, you look at the forward line. It fills itself, right? Gabriel Kwok and Faris Ramli are bona fide national team starters when they're on form. But this season, I think they've just not been able to get going. I think Gabriel has been a bit unfair on Gabriel that he hasn't got as many starts as he would have wished to, because I think his numbers have been fantastic. Faris, on the other hand, I think he has been able to get a fair few starts, but hasn't really shown the form that we know he's capable of. And this is Faris that we're talking about, right? Someone who has been part of the national team for God knows how long. I think it's a bit unfair on him also as well, I admit, because I think he's been struggling with an injury. I think he talked about it before the season started, which curtailed his pre-season as well. But I mean, look, Faris is someone who has always bounced back from adversity in his career, and I expect him to do much better next season, whether it's in the blue of the Lion City Sailors or another colour in the league. Let's see.
Raufshan, what about you? Deepan has gone for Faris Ramli. Who have you gone for?
Deepan is always full of teasers. First, he says LCS are close to appointing a coach. Now, he says Faris might not be in blue. That's why we love having Deepan on the show. But anyway, my choice for player who needs to improve in 2023 or a player who needs to improve in general is Haris Harun. I do think big things were expected of Singapore's national team captain when he came to the club. When we previewed the season, I think it was Khairul Ashraf who said this is going to be a big, big year for Haris, because it's that complete transition from midfield to defence. More than once, he's been culpable for goals that were leaked. One goal that stands in mind is the Kodai Tanaka winner when the ball was played over the top. Kodai Tanaka, first time finish. Excellent goal, don't get me wrong. But is your centre-back really meant to be called out like that? Caught out like that? I don't think so. And I think there is space to improve. It's this ties against Albrecht that will determine how well LCS do, because on paper, at least, they should be doing well against the rest of the team. So I think Haris will put his hand up and say perhaps he could have done better. We've seen him give away penalties a couple of times this season. And I think while he's getting to grips, he's had to change his centre-back partner a few times this year after Pedrao succumbed to that late injury or season-ending injury. I think Haris needs to, not in a leadership capacity, but in a positional capacity, I think he can do a lot more. And I hope he will do so, starting with the Mitsubishi Electric Cup, because that means he will do well for Singapore.
Well, with all that said and done about the Lion City Sailors, yes, they will be incredibly disappointed with how the league season has gone by. But the season isn't really over for them. They do have the Singapore Cup. And I think Luca actually said in the last match days, post-match, that they are all incredibly excited and looking to get their hands on the Singapore Cup. So that's that for them. Let's move on to Tampines Rovers then. They ended their campaign in third with 50 points and, of course, sealed the AFC Cup spot. So let's get straight into it. Roshan, I'll come to you first for this one. How has the season played out for Tampines to you?
I think it's played out like it's meant to be. With Tampines, there's always trust the process that you think of. I think their chairman put out a bit of a cryptic post saying, seriously guys, trust the process. And I think they have trusted the process throughout the season and it's paid dividends. I think they've done well in the league. We've seen Kevin continue with that philosophy that he loves. They've played some eye-catching football. They've ended up providing the Golden Boot winner, and I think there's plenty of positives Tampines can take. I just feel with resources and stuff like that, I'm just going to combine my answers for next year. Is this the glass ceiling for Tampines? Because we know they have budget restrictions. What more can they achieve from here? That's my question. Because it's now two seasons in a row where they have hit the glass ceiling. They've hit the absolute maximum. Because are they really going to challenge for the title with the resources they have? I'm not so sure. I'm excited to see if they can. That would be testament to Gavin. But I don't know whether this is... Tampines have been great, but is this the best Tampines ever? Is there a higher notch to achieve? That's what I'm keen to find out. Deepan?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this season, I think Tampines, to me at least, I think have surpassed expectations, because I think when you look at the Tampines team, I mean, the signings that they made, a lot of young players coming through, I think not many people expected them to be the third best team in the league. So in a way, I think they have surpassed expectations. But like what Roshan said, what's next? Do you continue to cultivate these young players and not aim for titles and cups? I'm not sure. But having said that, I think later on we will talk about it when we talk about Singapore Cup contenders. I don't think Tampines are that far away from silverware again. I do think that if they continue to build on what they have, add a couple of one or two key players, I think this team can go far.
On the note of key players, who has been their best player? Very quickly, Deepan.
For me, just Boris Kopitovich. I think no explanation needed.
Yeah, Kopi has to be Kopi. He's been cow this season.
That one goes without saying. Which player then needs to be... Which player then needs to most improve for 2023?
I think we have seen a lot from this player. We've seen him light up the league, actually. Player that I enjoy watching on most occasions, but in this season, he has not been himself. And I think Tampines coaching staff would agree as well, because they have dropped him to the bench a couple of times, which is not really something that you would see in previous seasons, and that's Zerudin Mehmedovic for me. Not really the player that that we have seen in the past couple of seasons. But I think he has to improve. You look at the players that companies have, a lot of young Singaporean players. So I think these young Singaporean players, they look to the foreigners for some kind of guidance and advice. Kyoga doesn't let companies down. Boris this season hasn't let anybody down. So you've got to look at the other foreigners. So I think for me, Zerudin is someone who has to improve next season.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with Deepan. When you're a foreigner in a SPL team, it comes to expectation, and perhaps Zerudin, I believe he's struggling with injury, not making excuses for him. He certainly can go up a few notches. But I like to look at the local boys' angle, and I think Christopher Van Huysen, when he came to that team, Gavin revolutionized him into a fullback. He was even in and about the national team, and then he got an injury and it all went a bit pear-shaped. So I think Christopher Van Huysen, there's a good player there. There's a good player there, and I hope he can add consistency to his game. And that, again, will have a good knock-on effect for the national team, because I think he does bring something different to the national team, and be good to see Christopher Van Huysen fulfill the promise next year.
All right, from Tampines, let's move on to the team in fourth spot, which is Geylang International. Now, for all that we've said about them, especially at the start of the season, look at where they are at the end of it. They finished fourth on the final day on 39 points, just ahead of Haugang on goal difference. And this is their best finish since 2020. So, Deepan, what have they done right this year?
I think what they have done right is to persist with Noh Ali. I think clearly you've seen that he's a coach who is able to get the best out of his players. And time and again, we talk about this all the time, which is that you look at the squad, it's not really the most fantastic squad you'll find. I think he has really made the most out of his squad, made a couple of good signings. I think Zuzul and Bezakor have done well this season. I think you look across the squad as well. Even someone like Tajeli, you know, who came in midway through the season, Noh Ali has made the best out of him as well. So I think credit to the coach. I think not many people agree with me on that front. I think a lot of detractors like to say that, oh no, I think the squad looks fine, I think this is a top four squad. I disagree. Joshua Pereira, look at him. I mean, wow. He's a good player, but I think Noh Ali has really progressed him, and you're seeing 9 on 10 out of 10 performances from him week in, week out. He's got into the national team. Kudos to Noh for that. And now, again, I think similar to what I said about Albrecht, which is, will this squad stick around? Will the management, you know, put in the money that's needed to ensure these players stick around? There's been rumours about Noh possibly leaving. There have been rumours about Bezakor possibly leaving. I think there's been huge interest from Malaysia for Bezakor services. So that's the only thing now that they've achieved the top four finish. Whether we'll see most of these players in green and white next season.
Roshan, I'll come to you now. What have they done that has impressed you the most this year?
No, I think Deepan, again, covered most points. He talked about keeping Noh Ali in the job. Yeah, they went 11 games without a win midway through the season, and all of us were like, if in any other management position, the manager would be questioned, right? And they stuck to their guns. Maybe it was a budget thing, maybe it was trust, who knows? But it worked a treat. And I think Deepan touched on it there, just the players that he's brought through, right? Joshua Pereira has gone into the national team. Ilhan Noh, for one, has had an outstanding season. And I think he should be in the national team picture, maybe not the top level, at the youth level at least, but he's a potential national team player. If Gavin was doing this, we'd be like, wow, Gavin Ball, this is what Gavin does. This is what Gavin can do. Noah Ali deserves that very same credit for what he's done. And let's not take away from the human element. Noah Ali has had his health issues all along this season. So all things considered, everything he had to manage between a brand new playing squad, his health issues, dealing with Geylang's management to end the season the way they have done is absolutely fantastic. Recruitment has been spot on. I'm sure Noah Ali has had a big part to play in that. Bezekor is one of those, when we spoke to Bezekor on the Rated R podcast, he mentioned not even knowing much about Geylang, but joining them, he's made a great splash to life. That's maybe you can consider luck. But you look at the likes of Tajeli, how he's turned Tajeli's season around. Tajeli is maybe a bit of a misguided player, to use a good word, and he's managed to guide him to do well. You look at other signings who come in. It's a brand new host of players that he's got pulling in the same direction, and I think Noah Ali deserves massive, massive credit for that.
Do we see ourselves at this, like at the end of the season, singing praises for Noah Ali, especially as to what we've said at the start of the season? But
depends on who's the panelist, whether we are being honest about our feedback or Noah Ali, or you know, putting personal grudges in the picture.
But with that said, very strong shout for manager of the season then?
I don't want to lose deep into Singapore football, but if you ask me, he has to be up there. Top three, at least. For me, if I was voting, Noah Ali, manager of the season. Who else? I mean, obviously, Yoshinaga is the obvious choice, but if you want to look at a local candidate, a candidate who's done a lot with a small budget, Noah Ali for me.
I'll let you think about that later because we will be asking that at the end of this segment. But very, very quickly, Raushan, best player and player that needs to improve the most from Geylang International?
Sure. I think best player, Bezekor, will be an obvious answer for most. But for me, I'm going for Zaiful Nizam. I think at his age, he's won the Golden Glove. When you consider all the adversaries he's gone up against, Hassan Sani, Koga playing for Albrecht's team, who lead goals anyway. But I think Zaiful Nizam has done really well. He's added stability to, at times, unstable Geylang backline. For worst player, wow, this is difficult because I think as a whole, the team has done really well. I know why you're smiling, Farah, because that's exactly the player I'm thinking of. I do think Abdulkaim has been overshadowed by his defensive counterparts this year, and that's worked wonders for the team. But from a personal standpoint, Abdul remains vice-captain at that club. Can he offer more to take Geylang to the next level? It'll be interesting to see. He has the cup to start with. But again, like with Albrecht, we are clutching at straws because I think Geylang have been arguably the second best team in the league this season.
Call me surprised by that shout. But Deepan, what about you? Do you agree with Russian's choices?
I would go for Sime Zuzu as Geylang's best player because I think midway through the season, I was a little frustrated by Zuzu in the way that Noah Ali was using him or in the way that I felt Zuzu wasn't really adapting to Geylang's style, you know, the high press style. But I think as the season went on, I think Zuzu discovered for himself that there were spaces that he could get into to get the goals that he needs to get for Geylang. And I think he worked up a good partnership with Vincent Bezekor as well. So I'll go for Zuzu, although Bezekor is a very, very close second. But I think Zuzu has really, really surprised me this season. I think he's added to his game. So kudos to him for that. For worst player, you know, you look at this Geylang team and one thing I've always complained about is the lack of depth in this team. You look at the bench and there are not many options that to choose from. But one player, I think Faris Farhan, I think he's got to really improve. I mean, I say this because in terms of what there is in the squad, Geylang need to rely more on the bench players next season. And Faris Farhan is, after all, someone who has donned the national kit before. So he is capable of being a very, very good player on his day. It's just that I'm not sure why he doesn't get starts, but I think he's someone possibly who, if he does get enough starts, gets the momentum going and becomes that option for Geylang. I think basically as a wide player or through the front, he's someone who can give you options. So I just want to see more game time for him from Faris Farhan.
All right, great shot.
Sorry, just very quickly, Deepan, not someone who I associate with optimistic thinking most of the time, but that's very optimistic of you to think that of Faris Farhan. For me, I'm just going to put it out there. I think that career sailed. I know he hit the heights of the national team jersey and all that, but sorry, we've had other players who've had the luck of wearing the national team jersey or the ability to wear the national team jersey and just faded off. I think he joins that gap of players. And to your point about having strength in depth, I think Geylang need an overhaul. They've got a good 11 players in terms of the strength in depth. They've given Faris Farhan more than one season to prove himself. Nothing's happening there. It's time to move on.
All right. Speaking of moving on, let's move on to the next team on the table, Hougang United. Well, we've said all we wanted to say about them for the entirety of the season, but we will need to keep this one pretty short. Deepan, I'll come to you first. What have they done right this year?
Not much, have they? I think you look at this team, I think it's full of talented players. I think one thing we've got to address is that I think they got a bit of the signings wrong in terms of the profile. So I'm not complaining about the signings that they have done in terms of Pedro Bortoluzzo, Moritz, Krychek, even who came into form towards the end of the season. But they ended the season without Kaishu playing. That's something they've got to address first and foremost. I just don't like this part about leaving fans in the dark. You know, what happened to the signing that they made at the start of the season? They didn't address it. And also, what happened with Kaishu? Yes, I think the SPL side listed it as disciplinary reason. But, you know, I think just got to have better communication with fans. Let the fans know what's happening. On the pitch, I think Hougang, I think they got better as the season ended. They might do very well in the Singapore Cup. But they've got to ensure that the recruitment is right next season, because I don't think they've got the recruitment right this season.
Roshan, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I think with Hougang, they went a bit Hollywood this year with their signings. They probably got excited with what LCS was doing and they decided to do that. And that equated to a very lopsided squad. And I think there's deeper name check the players there, the likes of Kaishu not even ending the season with them. There's massive, massive problems at the club that needs to be addressed. From what I understand, it's a case of too many chefs spoiling the broth. The broth may have tasted slightly better towards the end of the season, but it was still spoiled at the start of the season. I don't think we can take that away from them. Hougang need an off-season of reflection. I think with the privatization, the league might start later. Hopefully, they use that time wisely to get their chips right, because there are good footballing minds there. There are good footballing minds that can put a club of Hougang stature in the right way. I think just this year, perhaps too many people pulling in different directions, which ends up with a very confused playing squad. In terms of signings, I think they went for Hollywood. They need more systematic players this year. I think they've seen other clubs do better at signings by signing to a system. I think they need to try and do that. Don't get me wrong, you can sprinkle Stardust in your striking positions and stuff like that, but that call, that defense, that midfield needs a lot of shoring up, and I think a lot of players need to go, new players need to come in. It will take time, but I think given time, Hougang can achieve something, and hopefully in 2023 they are in a good way to do that, because 2022 was meant to be the year they put themselves on that track. It's okay to lose a year if you are recalibrating for 2023, and I think recalibration is what it needs to be done next year.
Indeed, because like you guys said, I think a lot was expected from them this season and they failed to deliver. So I think it would be fair to expect them to at least show us something next season, right? But then, with all that said, right, who has been your stand-up player for Hougang? And then, in that regard, the player that would need to improve the most in 2023, Deepan?
I think the player has really, really impressed me. I think it's Shawal. I think, far and away, he's been Singapore's best winger in the league this season. Adds a lot of speed to the attack. I think he's added a new layer of being able to, you know, beat players one-on-one with skill as well. I think we saw, you know, a couple of highlight reels from him alone this season. When it comes to, you know, player who has to improve for next season, I'm going to go with Lionel, because I think we have seen Lionel been mentioned close to the national team previously, right, by a lot of fans. But I think this season, I think he will admit that he hasn't been himself. Again, one of those players who has been struggling with injury throughout the season. I hope he has a good rest after the Singapore Cup, comes back stronger for next season, because we have seen Lionel play well, but that has not been always the case this season.
Roshan, your turn.
Yeah, best player for me, it's hard to look beyond Shawal Anwar, but I think Sahil Suhaimi deserves a fair shout in what was a struggling front line at times. He's done Sahil things, which we know he's capable of. Again, one of those players who showed plenty of promise in the early part of his career. He hasn't actually hit the heights of fulfilled that potential, but I think in glimpses, he showed what he's capable of. So alongside Shawal Anwar, I'd say Sahil Suhaimi has been a standout. In terms of players who can improve for next year, I think Amy Rekha can improve. He arrived. I don't think this is wholeheartedly down just to Amy Rekha, but I think the circumstances of the club and stuff like that, he knows that he can be a bona fide goal scorer for the club. Maybe he was overshadowed slightly by Pedro Bortoluzzo getting the goals, but I think Amy Rekha can be a good player for Hougang, and hopefully he fulfills that promise, because last season he finished as the league's leading Singaporean goal scorer. So there is a good player there, and I hope 2023 will bring better things for Amy.
On the note of promising, the one team that was promising at very early on in the season was Tanjung Pagar United. I mean, they impressed us all in the first half of the season, at least, that it even led to Deepin saying some wild things on this show. But for Singapore football's sake, I won't bring that up. So, Deepin, what have they done?
I've been waiting.
I mean, I was going to say earlier that it was not just going to call out Roshan. So, Deepin, I'm not going to call you out, but Roshan probably will.
No, I think you look at Tanjung Pagar, I think we did talk about them earlier this season, where I think midway through, when the form started to filter out, I think we did say that this was a team that gave their all, you know, towards the start of the season, and they don't quite have the depth to sustain that throughout the season, because I think more or less the starting 11 has picked itself. But I think still they can be very proud of their efforts. I think we talk about this, or rather I talk about this all the time, which is resources, right? For the resources that Tanjung Pagar have, I think they will be very proud of the season. I mean, you look at the players that they have, they are all players who have a point to prove in the league. Daniel Bennett is a defender that many people already wrote off their minds, but he still, you know, was able to have a fairly decent season. Farid Samir is also on the wrong side of 30. And again, he also had a decent season. Players that have been discarded by previous clubs like Akari Abdullah, they have all, you know, proven themselves this season. So I think overall, they can be proud of their efforts. I think this is a team that you can't just judge from where they are in the table, because we saw them, you know, I mean, in first spot, right? Towards the start of the season. I'm really looking forward to the Singapore Cup campaign. I think this is something they've been targeting to do well in. So let's see how they do. I think the only disappointment, like you mentioned, Farah, is the fact that they were so high up at the start. But I think they would have been aiming for positions like this in the table when they were setting the targets for the season.
Roshan, at the end of the day, would you think they would be pleased with where they've ended the season?
I think it's hard to be pleased once you see the promised land of third place and potential AFC Cup qualification, right? Those were the heady days for Tanjung Pagar. And we discussed it on the show before, whether they could possibly qualify for continental competition. So to end up in sixth would feel like a bit of a disappointment. No lies there, right? But all things considered, we talk about Tanjung Pagar being in this process of coming back into the league and then making progress year on year. I think this is progress. What they've shown this year is progress. Now, where they go from here is what we want to see, whether they can continue that sustained upward momentum next year. And I think they can, because they've shown that they are on an upward trajectory since they rejoined the league. This year was a step in the same direction. And if they can continue to beef up their squad, I think they can put up a better challenge next year. Not for the title, obviously, but higher up in the table. And I think they can sustain that momentum they have, because they have plenty of heart. We've said that all season long. It's just having personnel to back that heart, right? And I think if they can beef up their squad, they would possibly be able to reach the Haiti heights as they did earlier part of the season.
You say sustain. So to sustain that, which player will they need to hold on to if they must, to keep it up?
Blake Ricciuto is important. I think Blake Ricciuto brings a lot. He was the last foreigner through the door. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I think he brings a lot more than most players in terms of just not just on pitch action, but I think off the pitch he's an important member of the dressing room as well. But obviously, without Ronaldo's goals, they wouldn't have achieved what they have. And it's Rio Nishiguchi who is also a key asset for them. So between those two players, I think if they keep those two players, they will be in a good way next year. Having said that, Shodai Nishikawa has also proven to be a trusty. It reminds me of James Milner for some reason. Unassuming. Not stylish, but gets the job done always. So, yeah, those three players are key to keep. But there's a lot of core players. I have to choose one. I'll choose Blake.
All right. Deepan, do you agree with
that? Sorry, I just want to mention one thing. I understand the point about Shodai Nishikawa. I think a lot of people make the point that he's a capable player. But I'm sorry, when you have a foreigner spot to fill, I don't think you fill the spot with players who are dependable. Yeah, I totally get Roshan's point. I like what Shodai brings to the team. I think he's a very good player. But you know, when it comes to Forest, I want to see someone who really adds quality to the side. Something that a Singaporean player is not able to do. So I do want to see Tanjung Pagar make better foreign signings. I think Sujic was someone who, you know, we talked about a lot at the start of the season. But I think even he, his impact dwindled down a bit as the season went on. But I completely agree with Roshan. I think their key player is Blake. I think what he brings to the team in terms of leadership is very, very underrated. And I think he cares a lot about the football club. I think he cares a lot about the players, the young players of the football club. So I do hope that he stays on with Tanjung Pagar. And I just want to see Tanjung Pagar add a few more pieces to this team.
All right, with that regard, then which player will then need to most improve for 2023?
I'm going to be fair, you know, I like this player a lot. I talked about him a lot last season, but this season, I don't think he has been anywhere near the form that we've seen him in last season, which is Fatullah. Fatullah is a player who I think he's really, really special. He's able to do things on the ball that not many young players in Singapore are able to do. So having said that, I think it could be a mismatch of expectations because he was so good last season. We expected him to kick on this season, but that has not been the case. You know, I'm not able to pinpoint what's wrong as well because I think this season he had a lot more dynamism around him. But having said that, I think this is still a young player. I think when you're young, you're going to be inconsistent. And I think he's showing that. But let's see, you know, where his career progresses. But I think this season, it wasn't his best.
Roshan.
Yeah, wholeheartedly, I agree with the Fatullah pick. I think Deepan, you're spot on. Maybe expectation was the burden for him. One player, though, who we talk about improving. I know this is not improving because he had a bad season, but I hope he can recapture how good he was prior to his injury, Shakir Hamza. We've seen Shakir Hamza come in and make some late substitute appearances towards the tail end of this season, even had a couple of starts. And he just looks a bit undercooked at the moment. I think there might be a match fitness thing. And I love Shakir Hamza as a player. I think he adds so much, not just to Tanjung Pagar, but to the national team as well. So for Shakir Hamza's sake, I hope Shakir can come back from what was a very, very difficult ACL injury. I think any player would tell you that's one of the most hardest injuries to come back from. And I hope Shakir Hamza will come back and at least hit the heights that he did prior to getting injured while on national duty.
Right. From Tanjung Pagar United to Balestier Khalsa, who have finished second from bottom. Deepan, I'll come to you first on this. What have you then made of Balestier Khalsa's season in terms of what they've done right and what they can improve on for 2023?
Not much has gone right. I think, look, we have to sit here and say it's been a disappointment, especially with the way things worked out with Akbar Nawaz. Akbar would not have left a job that, you know, he believed in. And clearly something changed from his optimism at the start of the season to not believing in the team midway through and then leaving the club, right? So they've got to get things right in terms of how they conduct themselves at the club. And to me, that there is an issue with Balestier Khalsa. It's not so much that people talk about how little they might be paying the players. I mean, this is something that the trackers talk about, although I'm not quite sure that's true, but I think it's more than just the recruitment. It's just about having the aura. You know, when you come into training, you want to be proud of the club that you play for. Have they really built that yet? I'm not quite sure. Yes, it's a work in progress, but I think this season has been disappointing. Yes, they've got one or two results, like we talked about, the win over Sailors that they'll remember for time to come. But overall, is there a long-term plan, a long-term vision at the club? I have not been seeing it. And we've talked about it before this season where, you know, I was sitting in the stands and I could hear the Palace chairman Tava complaining about that passing, the short passing kind of football. So, you know, you can't have two...
Can we have the impersonation again, please? No, I'm kidding. Sorry to interrupt.
So, yeah, but you can't have different ideologies at the same club. You know, a head coach can't be thinking A and then your chairman thinking B. So I just hope everything aligns. But this season, very, very disappointing from Balestier Khalsa.
Okay. Yeah, just to add on to what Deepan was saying, I think Deepan has covered most things. For Balestier, I do worry whether they are trying to do too much at the same time almost. And this is very objectively speaking from the outside. perspective. I know they want to improve the football club as a whole, but then there's this whole dive into esports, there's this whole overdrive into sponsorship, whether they are taking too much on their plate at the same time. That's just a concern I have. But I'm happy for Darwin to prove me wrong on this, because Balestier is one of those clubs that you find it hard to hate. I mean, you can hate Topayo Stadium, but you can't hate the club because they're just a neutral club, right? So it'd be good to see them follow through with Peter Niru. I think he's had some strong showings. If they back the manager, he seems like he knows what he's doing in 2023. If they can add to their squad, then I think they do need to desperately add to their squad. They can hopefully build on what would be a strong end to the 2022 season.
So, Roshan, who has been their best player then for the season?
I mean, it has to be one of the Japanese trio, right? I think it has to be, in my mind, Jumbo, because he's led them, got a couple of hat-tricks in the season, I believe, and just proven to be an out-and-out goal scorer, which he lost his way slightly. I think in the years gone by, he had to make way for Sime Zuzul to lead the line. This year, he's been thrust upon in that number nine role, and he's done well. He's got the goals, and again, it's hard to pick out the best player from what has honestly been an uninspiring bunch for Balestier. But if I had to pick, it would be Jumbo.
Who then needs to most improve?
I think you know, I like Lipan's point about what a foreign player should add to the team. We talked about Shodai Nishikawa adding to the team, right? I think if you look at Bruno, is that a foreign player you really want in the team? I don't think he was part of Akbar's plans. He was staying on because he had a contract. Maybe it's time to reassess what your foreign players bring to the team as your, if he's the fourth foreigner in amongst, after you add the three Japanese players, I'm not sure Bruno exactly fits the bill. Perhaps it's time to move on from that experiment, the Balestier Bruno experiment.
So Deepan, who then has been your best player for Balestier and the player that would then need to most improve for 2023?
I think the player that needs to improve, I think you know my answer, is a player that I've talked about at the start of the season that doesn't belong in the Singapore Premier League, and that's Ensar Brunasevich. Because the point I make all the time about foreigners adding quality, the fact that a coach is able to, or rather a coach wants to put local players ahead of him, you know, speaks volumes about the quality or the lack of the Ensar provides. Look, if Balestier had a seasoned, or don't even say seasoned, a player of quality, a foreigner who has quality in the back line, I think they've done much better this season, because I think it was always found wanting that back line. The best player, I think I'm going to go with Taniguchi. I think 10 goals and 11 assists for Balestier Khalsa is a number to be really proud of. I'll admit, you know, I didn't really think he would hit that form with Balestier Khalsa after he did so with Albrecht's last season. So I'm surprised. But having said that, the other signing from Albrecht's, which was Kondo, he is also a letdown, I think, because we saw so much from him last season and I thought he would be a massive, massive player for Balestier Khalsa this season, but it hasn't turned out that way.
Well, speaking of letdowns, I'm kidding. The last team we get into.
Are you kidding, though?
Well, okay. Let's move on to the Young Lions then. I mean, they, of course, finished bottom of the table. This is their second lowest points per game haul, and they've notched just 8 points from the 28 games, conceding 103 goals doing so. And they actually finished with fewer than 10 points in 4 of the last 7 seasons. So, disappointment might be an understatement here, but Deepan, I'll come to you first. What have you made of this season?
I think with the Young Lions, there will always be mitigating factors, right? We'll talk about how the players are in NS, there are a lot of players leaving, blah, blah, blah. But I think this season, that is an important factor, because you saw the players that went out of the team. I think it really, really hurt them a lot. I think Ilhan alone gets you at least 2-3 wins, you know, single-handedly almost. He went out, and then of course your captain Jacob Mahal, I think he is someone who is really, really important for the team. He went out of the team as well. So this is something you've got to consider. But having said that, I think overall it's been a disappointing season from them. In previous years, even though they would lose matches, you look forward to watching Young Lions because of the football that they play. I can't say the same at all this season. And that's down to coaching, right? That's down to the philosophy set up by the coach, that's down to the coach's execution of that said philosophy. Nasri has to look at himself and the coaching staff. I think the players, at the end of the day, yeah, people will argue that this batch, and this argument that I've heard a lot in the last few weeks, that this batch of young Lions are not as great as the previous ones. Yeah, that's fair enough. But that was also the case in the previous season where Philip Au was at the helm, but he made the best out of it. So the same expectation should be made out of Nasri, and he didn't fill those expectations. And this is coming on the back of a very poor SEA Games campaign. And then now you have him in the league, and it's not really going well. And I put up a poll on my Twitter a few days ago whether people would want to see a Young Lions team with a couple of foreigners and senior players. And if the rumors are right, then I think that's something we might see next season. Let's see what happens. But I personally do feel this team needs guidance, and the guidance is not coming from Nasri.
Roshan, what is your assessment then, Bin? Do you agree with what Deepan has just said to us?
Yeah, I think Deepan, once again, has covered all the bases. Everything he said makes sense. You talk about Ilhan guaranteeing you victories. I think we've lost a ton of leadership as well. The likes of Ilhan, the likes of Jacob Mahler, the likes of Raihan Stewart are all key players in that dressing room. And I think losing them has not helped this very, very young squad. There have been bright sparks. There have been one or two bright sparks. I think Zikos at times has proven he can score goals. He doesn't look like a natural goal scorer, but he gets the job done. Glenn Quay in and amongst the national team at the moment, fair play. But I wholeheartedly agree. Nasri Nasir is the problem and Nasri Nasir needs to go. I'm just going to say it. Look, I've had the privilege of covering the Young Lions games across the season gone by. When I listened to that pre-match interview, I know the Young Lions are going to lose already because Nasri Nasir seems defeated before get-go. And I think that's unfair on the boys. I'm not saying you need someone to rah-rah you. That should come from within. But you need better guidance. And the problem is we've seen how people can do with the same squad of players. I know there's plenty of other distractions this season by the way of the SEA Games, as well as, for some reason, the Young Lions taking part in the Under-21 League makes no sense to me. But that's a different podcast altogether. There are various mitigating factors for Nasri Nasir and the situation he finds himself in. But he just looks defeated, boy. And I think that's difficult. That rubs on to players, especially when they're young players. You look for guidance and they've lost leadership in the dressing room. They don't have the guidance from the coach, and that's why they've had the rubbish season that they've had.
I mean, we can all agree, as quote-unquote Roshan said, rubbish season that they've had. But has any player then stood up for you for the Young Lions this season?
Wow, that's actually a difficult question to answer, honestly. In my mind, I'm going through the players and I can't find one. I guess based on Glenn Quay making it into the national team and now I think back-to-back squads he's been in, you would think Glenn Quay is the standout option because he brings a lot to the team. Deepan, anybody else stand out for you?
I think when Jordan Imabuwe has played, he hasn't really let the side down, but hasn't played much. I think he did come into the side more towards the end of the season. But I will say that for me, the standout player for Young Lions has been Raul Suhaimi.
Yes.
Wow. At that age, when he was making his debut, 16 years old, 17 years old now, I don't even want to say what I was doing. But Raul Suhaimi has really, really impressed us all. And he's only getting started. You know, I can't wait for him to, you know, really take the next steps in his career. But this season, he has seen a lot of game time. And I think he hasn't been a letdown. I think I can say that for sure.
Would it even be fair to ask which player needs to most improve in 2023?
I think Deepan and I have basically covered who the worst player is. He may not be a player, but who the worst, what needs to change for next season? Well, that's my answer at least. I wouldn't single out a player. I think the coach needs to take responsibility here. So Nasri Nasir for me is the worst player/coach or whatever you want to call it.
Deepan, you agree with that?
I've said before that Nasri is someone who needs to improve on his caliber. I don't think it would be fair to single out players because you look through this team, I think a lot of them are still quite young. So having said that, I think one player who's no longer young, I think he wasn't great this season, and that's Sharul Sazali. He was one of the overage players for the SEA Games campaign as well. So still boggles my mind, but at the end of the day, I think Sharul Sazali used to be someone who I thought would progress into the national team, but he hasn't quite taken the next step. I don't think he's with the Young Lions next season. I'll be very surprised because then they should stop calling themselves Young Lions. I believe he's moving back to Tampines Rovers. A perfect coach in Gavin to get the best out of Sharul's abilities, because one of the best left foots in the league when he's on form.
Right.
And we know Deepan loves a good left-footed player as well, right?
All right, now we've gone through the entirety of the table from the champions to the rock bottom Young Lions. Now, looking at the season as a whole, it has been an incredible season to say the least. But I'm going to push the both of you for an answer. Who has been your pick for the player of the season? And yeah, who is it and why?
For me, Maxim Lestien. I've enjoyed watching him. I've told my friends, you know, while you can, please go down to a stadium to watch him live, because you'll never get to see a player of such a caliber playing live for what, $10. I think it's a steal. He's worth more than the admission price alone, and I'm going with Maxim Lestien.
Roshan, you agree?
Yeah, 100% has to be Maxim Lestien. He makes playing 11-a-side like he's playing futsal. There was some goals he scored this season which absolutely should be happening on a futsal court. It happened at the Jalan Besar Stadium. It's excellent to watch, and that's the kind of foreigner you want coming to the league, right? Comes for big money, fulfills the promise, unlike the likes of Jermaine Pennant who've come and gone in the league the years gone by. This is actually bona fide superstar who's added to SPL as a whole.
Now, what I'm interested in next is, who are your picks for coach of the season?
Deepen. I'll go first.
For me,
I mentioned it midway through the report already. For me, Noah Ali stands out. Obviously, King Kazu is King Kazu, but King Kazu comes with pedigree. He's won two titles before. He won the third title of his tenure with Albrecht this year. So, King Kazu, we know what he's going to bring. But Noah Ali, just for the way he's turned things around, considering he's only probably had 11 good players in that Geylang squad, I think Noah Ali deserves massive credit. And we heard a couple of weeks ago there is foreign interest. That must mean something, right? He's doing something, right? So, all things considered, Noah Ali for coach of the year for me. I'll be surprised if he gets it, because I know that's not how the voting system works sometimes.
Deepan, what about you?
Yeah, I would love to see Hazrin. I think it's not possible right now with where they are at the table. But look, jokes aside, I still think Hazrin and Noalam Shah and the rest of the coaching staff, Herman and co., can be very proud of their season, because I can't remember now, and I think listeners probably would know better in this regard, but it's been a long time since we saw one of the smaller teams, so as to speak, punch above their weight in the season and make people dream, right? And that's what people were doing at the start of the season. We're like, oh my God, can Tanjung Pagar do it? Tanjung Pagar going to be a Leicester? Yes, it didn't last for too long, but I think for extended period, at least, you know, they made people dream and look at the Tanjung Pagar team. I don't think it's the most talented of squads, but they were able to punch over their weight. So having said that, I think the easiest choice is to go for Albrecht's coach, Yoshinaga. But I agree with Roshan. I think more or less that squad is talented, and I think he has got the pedigree, and we know he's a capable coach. And often I like to make this point that the winner doesn't necessarily always need to come from the title winning side. I think you've got to put it into context of who you're managing. So, for example, if the Young Lions had finished fourth or fifth, I would have said Nazir Nazir. So, in the same vein, I think given the fact that he has got he's got not the best of squad to work with, Roshan made a good point about how he has more or less 11 players to work with. I'm going for Noah Ali as well. Not just what he has had to deal with this season on the personal front, he has to deal with detractors in the form of brothers and more than that, for me, Noah Ali, a clear winner for me.
I'll be very intrigued to see what happens then, and if he would actually get hands on the coach of the season award, because, like you guys said, very, very much deserved. And I remember saying this to him a couple of like weeks ago. I was like, coach, you need to win coach of the season. And he's like being really humble. He's like, no lah, not me lah. I don't deserve it. Shh. Clearly, you deserve it. Everyone thinks so. So, with that said, we've gone through the entirety of the season and what, going through the entirety of the season by the teams and what they've done right and who has stood out for them. It is now time for us to look ahead to the Singapore Cups, because all 8 SPL teams, of course, will be in action. It starts its first round of group stage matches later today, in fact. So, let's quickly recap the groups here for you. In Group A, you have the champions Albrecht Niigata, Balestier Khalsa, the runners-up Lion City Sailors, and the Young Lions. While in Group B, you have Geylang International, Hougang United, your reigning champions, Tampines Rovers and Tanjung Pagar United. So match day one, then we'll see Lion City Sailors take on Balestier Khalsa, with Albirex Negara then taking the Young Lions, while on Friday, Group B gets underway with Geylang International against Tampines Rovers, while Tanjung Pagar United takes on Hougang United. So I think we should quickly get into this. Deepan, I'll come to you first. Who are your favourites then, based on that season end?
I think when you look at favourites, I think you've got to look at the top two, right? I think Albirex Negara and Lion City Sailors, they'll be there. I think Albirex on the angle from, you know, one is not enough. We need to get them all. That's Yoshinaga's mantra to this team, basically. And the Lion City Sailors, you know, they'll be hurting this one way to salvage their pride, you know, to save their season almost. And they could, you know, package it as, oh, we won the league last season and we are continuing our silverware with the Singapore Cup this season. So, you know, it will still turn out to be a very good season for the Sailors if they win the Singapore Cup. But I think I'm rooting for, I wouldn't say rooting, but I think Tampines Rovers have a good chance. You look at the way they've ended the season, I think they have something, you know, they have momentum in their hand. And with Joel Chu part of the team, I think they've got good options. Boris Kopitovic in the goal scoring form that he is in, I think he's really somebody who can add to them. So I do see Tampines being I'm not sure, I don't know whether Roshan agrees with me, whether it's okay to call Tampines Rovers a dark horse, because they are one of the stronger teams and they have ended the season third, right? So given the fact that they're on the other side of the draw, I think they will get out that group, I believe so. And then it's all about that semi-final, right? In terms of what they can do, and then, you know, final, I think anybody goes.
Yeah, I think I agree with Deepan on the dark horse analogy, because purely because if you're going up against the riches of LCS and the reigning SPL champions of Albirex, any other team is considered a dark horse. It'll be interesting to see if Tampines can defend their cup. I just think with the Singapore Cup, there's a lot of interesting storylines to look forward to. LCS obviously dethroned as SPL champions. Can they again go on and end the season on a high? Albirex, King Kazu wants to win it all. Can they do it? There's certain teams that need a good cup run. Hougang have had a dire SPL season. Can they pick up the pieces with some silverware? Tanjung Pagar, so much promise. Maybe they are a cup team because it's more condensed. Can they go out and do it? There's so much to look forward to with the cup, and it's hard to pick a favourite. I think the way the groups have panned out, it almost seems like Group A speaks for itself. Unless, barring any major surprises, Albirex and LCS should go through in that one. But Group B is exciting. It's purely open, and I think you can keep an eye out for who makes it, who doesn't make it in that. If I was a betting man, well, before I get into me being a betting man, because we know how my predictions go, if I was rooting for a happy story, a feel-good story, it would be Tanjung Pagar to just recapture the highs at the start of the season and end on a fairy tale cup run. But I wouldn't mind Geylang International going on a cup run as well. It'd be interesting to see. There's plenty to look forward to.
But my question is very, very quickly. I don't want a reason to it. Just give me your answer. Who's going to win the Singapore Cup? Roshan?
Lion City Sailors.
Deepan?
Lion City Sailors.
Very interesting. Farah. No, this is not quick at all. You know what? Geylang.
How much time you want to buy?
Geylang.
All right, it's interesting to know who we are rooting. We'd love to hear from the listeners. We hope you've stuck through the episode, heard our SPL season review, as well as the mini preview to the Singapore Cup. We're going to keep the good content coming as the year winds to a close. There's plenty to look forward to. If you agree or disagree with any of our picks, I'm sure you disagree with most of them, do get in touch via social media. Thank you for supporting The Final Whistle. Till the next episode, it's Raushan, Farah and Deepan signing off.